Sportscast, August 22nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And also, please visit us on the sportscast.net for the latest. Andrew Luck from the Indianapolis Colts has retired from football as of this past Saturday. A shock to the football world and a shock to the sports world. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about that is Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
So, Kailu, obviously Saturday was a huge news day. Actually, it happened Saturday night during the UF. Were you surprised about this?
I was very surprised, but I think this is the best decision that Andrew Luck could have made. Just some background on Andrew Luck. He was drafted in 2012. The Colts went 2-14 the season prior, and he was the number one overall pick. He was 33-15 in his first three seasons. He led them to the playoffs in his first three seasons. He led them to AFC Championship in his third year. I wasn't really surprised by the news. I was surprised by the news, but given what he came out and said afterward, he said basically his exact quotes were, it's the hardest decision of his life, but it's the right decision. He also went on to later say that the last 4 years, he's been dealing with being through the pain cycle. It's just been a lot for him. It's been very uneasing, unrelenting, both in-season, off-season. And it was a stat that they put up on first day. He's only been able to practice three times since April. So I found that to be really, you know.
Yeah, pretty shocking. Yeah, he was only 29 years old. He had a neck injury about 2 years ago. He had a comeback season last year, which he had a good season. But, of course, during the offseason, he had issues with his calf and also ankle injury, and he just wasn't feeling it. Do you think he's one of those players very similar to Barry Sanders and also Calvin Johnson, Jim Brown? Was that one like do you think like he tops all that list, or you think like the other retirements was more shocking?
Well, I didn't get to see those, but I did get to see Calvin Johnson, and going through it by the first couple years, if I had to put blame, obviously the decision is himself, but if I had to put blame, it's obviously got to be the Colts management, because for the first couple years in his career, he's got hit. I actually found very, really good stats about this. Most quarterback hits per game from 2012 to 2016, when Ryan Gritzik was the general manager and Jim Irsay, nice for his bathroom. Cam Newton's at 9.82 hits per game. Russell Wilson's at 7.70. Colin Kaepernick's at 7.11, and Andrew Luck's at 6.71. And the other three quarterbacks, what they all have in common is they are running quarterbacks. There's no reason for Andrew Luck at 6'4", 240 to be standing in the pocket with no offensive line. And as we saw last year, he had his least amount of sacks in his career, 18. Because why? Because the general manager, Chris Ballard, the general manager that they have now, actually got him an offensive line in Quentin Nelson, who's been working wonders for them. So I think that's really helped him. And I'm always going to have that what if with Andrew Luck. A lot of people are talking about him possibly coming back. I don't think he's going to come back. I just think from judging by what he said, it's the hardest decision of his life. He's been in constant pain. Let's just go through some of the injuries that he's had. He's had a torn cartilage. He's had a partially torn abdomen. He's a lacerated kidney, which had him peeing in blood. He's had at least one concussion. He's had a torn labrum in his throwing shoulder. He's had a calf injury. He's missed 2016 with a right shoulder injury. Then he missed another game with a concussion in 2016. He missed seven games in 2015 with a lacerated kidney. He missed two games with a shoulder in 2015. So this is a guy that's just beat up throughout his career. The Colts, where do they go from here? You got to just experiment with Jacoby Brissett, who they acquired in 2015. He played 15 to 16 games that year, completed 59% of his passes, 6.6 yards per attempt. So I just don't see him coming back.
Another issue was his contract. He signed a five-year, $122 million contract in 2016. He was set to earn a base salary of $9.125 million in 2019 and a roster bonus of $12 million. In 2020, he was set to earn $11 million in base salary with a roster bonus of $11 million as well. But while that all seems kind of straightforward, his roster situation isn't as bad as it may seem. Looks like he doesn't have to pay back the Colts. Do you think this was a good decision by the Colts?
I think the Colts, obviously, they were put in a tough situation because word got out Saturday night. I remember my first reaction. I believed that. A lot of people said, you know, they couldn't believe it, but Sheffy is the most trusted source in the league, so I didn't think he was lying about it. I think the Colts, they didn't want to burn any bridges just in case with a possibility he does return. And they have three first-round picks in the first two rounds next year in 2020, the extra pick that they got from Washington this past draft. So, obviously, they wanted to pay him the money. They could have recuperated the money in $24 million back from Andrew Luck from his bonus. But I don't think this is much to do about anything. I just said they didn't want to burn any bridges for the possibility maybe in 12 months he decides he wants to come back.
Now the starting quarterback is Jacoby Brissett. People are, you know, I actually talked on Twitter that they're probably going to tank for Tua or Herbert. But you think Jacoby Brissett has a chance to maybe take the Colts into a contention somewhere?
I don't think this is possible. They acquired him prior to the 2017 season. He started 15 to 16 games, 6 yards per attempt, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. They were 4-11. Other quarterbacks they got on their roster is Philip Walker, Chad Kelly. I don't think this is possible. I think the Colts are signing up for another 4-win season. I think where do they go from here is, you said it before, I think they should definitely, they are better than what they were a couple years ago when they didn't have Luck. They still have an offensive line. They still have Darius Leonard, which I like, the linebacker. I like him. I think that's really good. They still have a good coach, so I think that's going to help them. They still have Frank Wright, so I think that's going to help them. But I still think they're 4-12. I think that what Andrew Luck can do, I mean, Jacoby Brissett just simply can't do. I think they're a lot better positioned than before from a roster standpoint. They still have T.Y. Hilton, but I think they're going to struggle, and they're going to have a 4-12 season.
What were your thoughts about the feedback from the fans? I believe when he was walking away, when the game ended in the preseason, the Colts fans were booing.
Yeah, I think it was absolutely inappropriate. When I saw that, that's what I really wanted to talk about most. I thought that was absolutely inappropriate. O.J. Simpson was talking about his fantasy team. I thought that was, for me, that was a tough pill. This is a guy that was battling all these injuries, and for the Colts, they didn't get him an offensive line. They didn't have one receiver other than T.Y. Hilton. He didn't have that many 100-yard rushing per game guys that could carry the football. He didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have a defense for most of his career. And still his last couple of seasons last year, which he led them to 9-1, which they made the playoffs. And then they lost to the Chiefs, obviously. So I thought that was absolutely inappropriate. People were worrying about their fantasy team. And this is their first reaction was worrying about their fantasy team. Colts fans were booing. I understand he was upset. This is a week and a half before the season, but I mean, it's just really tough seeing from Colts fans from when he was 2-14, and you guys were so spoiled with Peyton Manning. You guys were so spoiled with Peyton Manning. You guys came up with a 2-14 season, and he led you guys to 11-5 in three straight seasons, taking you to the AFC Championship in his third season. His first three seasons, he went 33-15. And I actually have some more stats. In his first six seasons, Dan Marino has 196 passing touchdowns. Andrew Luck is second with 171. Peyton Manning is third with 167. Russell Wilson is fourth with 161. Most passing yards in his first six seasons, Peyton Manning has 24,885. Dan Marino, 23,856. Luck is third with 23,671. Matt Ryan is fourth with 23,472. So that was very inappropriate from Colts fans. They're obviously going to look back at him in a couple of days and be ashamed of themselves. They should be ashamed of themselves. But he's not leaving because he wanted to leave. He's just mentally worn down. And that's why I don't see him come back. Because once you heal from the physical, it just sounded like a guy that he's smart. He's 29. He's young. You don't want the game to retire you. I always say you want to leave the game before it retires you.
Yeah, that's something that that everyone will be talking in the next few weeks, a few months, or maybe a few years. I can't say it's a mystery, but of course people are asking why he didn't make this announcement before the draft. But obviously, I don't think he knew then either.
Yeah, I think he was going by his heart. Obviously, people were saying he made this decision last night. He came to this dream and foregone conclusion. It weighed on him. Obviously, you saw he told Jacoby Brissett. I think it was reported he told Jacoby Brissett as soon as Friday. So I don't think that they wanted it to leak on Monday. until Monday, but once word got out on Saturday, Sunday, it was just tough to really, like, you know, word got out quickly. And I don't think he really wanted to retire. I just think mentally he was just beat up, and he's obviously not, like, a very smart guy. His father runs the XFL, so he's a very smart guy. So there's other stuff for him that he can do in his career.
Jacoby Brissett, obviously, was a Patriot a couple years ago, and, you know, he had a good short a career there in up in New England. But are you pretty optimistic about Jacoby, or do you think what we've seen of him, you know, last year and also like 2 years ago with the Colts, do you think that's where we're going to see more of, or do you think he's going to turn around and maybe, I mean, I've asked you this, you know, earlier, but what do you think about him as a player?
I think he, like I was saying before, I think he can have some moments. It's not going to be like luck. I think he can win a couple games for you. I think he could win a couple games, hold down the fort. It's in the AFC South, so I think he could beat Marcus Mariota a couple games. He's obviously going to have trouble with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. I think he'll have trouble against teams like the Texans. But I think he can win a couple games. I see it at 4-12. He went 4-11 in 2017. So I see it more as, you know, we're building. He's going to be the bridge guy for the next quarterback. I don't really see him as a long-term answer. I see him more as a backup, a placeholder, until, like you said, in 2020, that 4-12, they can go after another quarterback.
We'll see what happens with the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, this is not the first time we see a great quarterback leaving. The last time was Peyton Manning. He didn't really retire, but he definitely took a year off to repair his neck. Came back with the Broncos and won a Super Bowl. But, of course, Andrew Luck, it feels like everyone's saying he's not going to come back. I don't think he's going to come back unless, you know, he heals up after a year or two. But it's hard to come back after being missing for a year in the NFL. Really, really, really difficult. Let's look into Major League Baseball, the Yankees and the Dodgers. What's going on there?
Very impressed with the Yankees this weekend. They were obviously able to beat up Ryu for 7 runs. So I thought that was really good. They were able to beat Kershaw yesterday 5-1. So I thought it was a very good weekend. I took away 3 takeaways from that series. Cody Bellinger went 1-10, 6 strikeouts. The Yankees pitching staff stepped up. James Paxton did a great job this weekend. Domingo Germán, even Cease Sabathia did a good job this weekend. So those were my core takeaways. Aaron Judge homered in 3 straight games, his first time he's done it all year. So my takeaways was the pitching staff stepped up. Our bullpen was dominant, as it always is. Judge was good. Our pitching staff is capable of stepping up when it should. And also, I took away that the Yankees can get a lot stronger. They still have Luke Voit that can come back. Giancarlo Stanton can come back. Severino can come back. And Betances can come back. So I feel really good about the Yankees this weekend.
Yankees, an impressive performance. They're 85-47. They're only a couple games ahead of the Rays. And, of course, they're head-to-head with Houston. What's going on with that?
I think the Rays, I think the Yankees are going to win the division because the Rays are 9 back. They don't own the tiebreaker. You're 9 back. And also, I think the Yankees play well against them head-to-head. I'm more worried about, interested to see how we match up. I think we're going to match up well with Houston, but that's going to be a tough 7-game series. They got Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole. I think that's going to be a really good series. I also think the Yankees got to keep an eye on home field. In 2017, we lost to them in ALCS. They won all 4 games at home. We were 0-4 at their place. We had a 3-2 lead. We couldn't go to their place and win. I think we're better as a team than we were before, but I also think I'm watching for home field as the rest of the season goes on for Major League Baseball, for the AL, and also just home field for World Series, because even though the Yankees can win on the road, you always want to have that 7th game in your building. So that's what I'll be watching for the last month of Major League Baseball. Sorry to believe it fly by.
Yeah, Major League Baseball is coming towards the end near the playoffs. Of course, we'll see if the Yankees will head in deep into it. And, of course, Dodgers are favorite in the National League. Florida-Miami, very good game. It was kind of back and forth. You know, at one point people thought Miami was going to win, and then like the other point where Florida was going to win. But Florida, you know, came up top. What were your thoughts about that game?
Oh, that game was very, very sloppy. A lot of penalties. Just a lot of penalties. Also, I felt like it was a preseason game. I got the impression it was a preseason game. Very sloppy. The 4th and 34 penalty, very sloppy. I think both teams, what I took away from both teams is Felipe Franks definitely needs some season. Florida's offensive line is very young. A lot of penalties, a lot of costly decisions, a lot of delay game penalties. So I definitely think there's a lot to clean up for both teams, but I was very impressed.
Yeah, pretty impressed with Miami, of course. Florida was the heavy favorite. It was playing in a neutral venue. Of course, the young quarterback in Miami had a good performance for the first time. And, of course, Mullen has a lot to clean up with Florida. But they are ranked number 8. Some people think they're overrated. Do you think they'll drop a few places, or do you think they'll stick around there?
I think they'll drop a little bit. But I also was very impressed with Florida's defense. They had a lot of sacks in that game, so I felt very good. They created a lot of pressure when I was watching that game. So I was really impressed from them from the standpoint. I really liked their defense. I know it was against Miami, but I was impressed with their defense in that game. But I think they're going to drop just simply because they're in the SEC, and it's a lot of tough competition in the SEC. So I think they'll drop. I think they'll finish around 3 or 4 losses is a good season for Florida. And then that next step, they'll be able to probably the following year. But I think they'll drop a little bit.
After seeing Miami, you think Miami has some promise, or we'll have to see in a couple more games where they go?
Yeah, to your latter point, I think we'll have to see a couple more games. I'll be interested to watch them as they continue their season.
I personally thought Miami had a good game. I think there were some times in the game where I thought they could have won it. I think they were playing conservative towards the end. A lot of people were talking about Danny Enos, the new coach in Miami, the new assistant coach in Miami, was doing a good job in the beginning, but then got too conservative. But Florida came back. I just had a feeling that just things were not going Miami's way towards the end. But looks promising. With Coach Manny Diaz, and he definitely wants to do his best at the Miami program. But anyways, we're going to the end of our show. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No.
Okay, let's go Major League Baseball. St. Louis at Milwaukee.
I'm going St. Louis. They've been playing really well of late. Even though they're in Milwaukee, they've been playing really well of late. They're currently leading the NL Central, so I go Cardinals.
Pittsburgh at Philly.
Philly. Philly's coming off a tough series in Miami. They need to start winning games. They want to get in the wild card, stay in the wild card. Philadelphia.
Oakland at Kansas.
Oakland.
The Yankees at Seattle.
Yankees.
Why?
Because the Yankees got to start. You want to keep home field. So I think you want to keep the Astros behind you. The Yankees have been obviously, you're coming off a 2 out of 3. You want to salvage. You got swept by Oakland, so you want to salvage the road trip. So I think that J-Hop, it's time for him to pitch well because he wants to be in the postseason roster. And he's been really struggling this season. And it's just time for him to just string together a couple quality starts, just get going. It's almost September. You're trying to make the playoff roster. It's time for him to just start pitching well.
Also, some news this week, over the weekend, Dwight Howard is going to join the Lakers. What are your thoughts about that?
At first, I'm not going to lie, I was apprehensive to it. I didn't understand it. Obviously, I had bad memories of Dwight Howard in 2012, and that really crushed me, I'm not going to lie. But looking back at it, look, if he lost a couple pounds, if he's just doing it for show, but obviously he is like, look, he's losing a couple pounds. We both need each other. DeMarcus Cousins went out in the fashion he did. So if he's willing to take a third center role, fine, because he's not going to start. I don't think he's going to start. But if he's willing to sacrifice, if he's willing to help us win, if he's willing to do it at the price he's willing to, then fine.
It was between him and Joakim Noah. I mean, would you have picked Noah over Howard, or you would have chose Howard over Noah?
If those were the two options, which it was, or Spieth, I think it was, those three, I probably would have chose Dwight Howard because he can still help. He can still guard the rim. He can still guard the rim, and Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center. So I think he's still a serviceable center. He still is a threat in the pick and roll. You have LeBron, you have Anthony Davis, plus you still have Rondo, who's a good passer. So I think I probably would have chose Dwight Howard.
Yeah, one of the comments says that his work ethic is terrible, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I don't think that he took the game as seriously. But probably now, maybe at this stage in his career, considering he's been on a lot of teams in the last couple of years, maybe he'll take the game more seriously. Maybe he'll be more hungrier and hopefully translate to us winning games and him just being a better player.
And also the comments from the comments that he thinks Joakim Noah has more heart.
Who thinks Joakim Noah has more heart?
One of the comments from the comments in the Periscope.
Yeah, I would hope that. I don't really like to question people's heart because I don't really know what somebody's motivated by. That's why I always hate, like, when people are questioning Andrew Luck's heart. I've never played football. I watch football, but, like, you don't really get the chance until, like, you personally played it. I've never played quarterback, so I don't really like questioning people's heart.
Dwight Howard has played with the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Washington Wizards and been waived after three trades to Brooklyn and Memphis without ever wearing a uniform. He played only 9 minutes with Washington before back surgery ended his season. Now he's back with the Lakers. Let's see what happens. Obviously, he'll be a great we'll see. I mean, he'll be like a third center, but we'll see how we'll pan out in Los Angeles. Random question of the day. What is your favorite type of dog?
My favorite type of dog is a German Shepherd.
German Shepherd. Kailu, how can people reach you to talk to you about Dwight Howard?
They can reach me on Twitter at CaillouBorden12, and you can also reach me on Instagram at CaillouB123.
There you have it. Kailu did a great job with the Big 12. Obviously, the big college football, all the games will be this weekend. We only had one game this past weekend, and they called it Week Zero. So we'll definitely be following college football this weekend. Oregon-Auburn is probably one of the biggest games this weekend, so we'll definitely be looking at that. And of course, Tyler will be previewing that, and also we'll have post commentary after the game next week. But anyways, go to thesportscast.net and then go on Twitter at thesportscast1 for the latest. And obviously the U.S. Open is just started this week, so we'll see what happens with Djokovic and Nadal and Federer, and also and prediction for Alabama. But hold on, let's see if we could predict some college games. How about that, Kailu?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah, sure.
Because I don't think you'd be around again this week. So let's see.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
okay, let's go. Okay, we'll go Duke versus Alabama.
Alabama by 20.
Okay, Texas State at Texas A&M.
I'll go Texas A&M.
Georgia Tech versus Clemson.
Clemson.
Utah versus BYU.
I'll go Utah.
South Alabama versus Nebraska.
What do you say? Can you read?
South Alabama versus Nebraska.
I'll go Nebraska.
And lastly, Oregon versus Auburn.
I'll go Oregon.
Oregon, number 11, beats Auburn. Anyways, that's it with the SportsCast. Follow us throughout the week. We have a few show episodes this week, and then college football begins this weekend. Like I said, Oregon-Auburn is probably the biggest game. Now, seeing from the list, is Oregon versus Auburn is the biggest game of the weekend. And, of course, we'll keep you updated. Go to thesportscast.net. Kailu, I appreciate you coming on to the SportsCast.
Thank you.